This morning is the Legislative Finance Division has discovered $91.1 million in overcapitalized loan programs, and we'll have to make some legislative decisions as to which of this money can be generated for capital projects or put in a permanent fund or left where it is or whatever. So we're holding this public hearing this morning to find out exactly where the money is, what it's done, and what will be necessary to take the money and in what manner. And we're doing it prior to the caucus meeting today, too. So, Mike, if you will begin, please, sir.
Madam Chairman, just to give an overview and background about this particular project, Jerry Wilkerson, the legislative auditor, in reviewing the financial statement for the past fiscal year, was looking at the loan programs, and there were several of the loan programs that showed a consistent and significant cash balance. He looked further into that, got us involved in the project. We in turn contacted the departments administering these loans and came to the conclusion that for these loan programs identified on the memo that you have in your packet are probably overcapitalized. And I'd like to make three generalizations why we come to the conclusion that they're overcapitalized.
Yes, Senator Curtula.
The word probably always gets us in trouble. Like, can you give us a more positive statement than probably?
Delete probably. They are overcapitalized.
Thank you. That's fine.
So to make, for three reasons. Some of these loan programs have been in place long enough that they're starting to generate significant payback. Loans are coming back in. Another thing is that these loan programs have been in place long enough that the interest rates in the market have improved over where they were at the time the loan programs were set up. So the public, the users, potential users of these loans are going to the market rather than to these programs. And then also from the department standpoint in managing these programs in the tight revenue picture, they are taking a much more conservative approach to these programs than they otherwise would have. I would, Senator Curtula, like to qualify again in terms of probably one loan program, and that's the power development program, the $12 million we identify there. That is based on the fact that the four dam pool contracts issue has not been completely resolved. If it's going to stay just the way it is today, the $12 million is available. If the power authority decides to do something else, it may be needed.
Mr. Chairperson.
Yes, go ahead.
Just very quickly. You mean if it in and of itself decides to enrich the various dams or provide extra facility, or is this contingency for potential litigation? What do you mean there?
Pushpinder Dillon could follow up more particularly, but I understand that it's because of one of the cities in the four dam pool has not come on board. Is that right, Push?
That's correct, Madam Chair. The $12 million represents the amount that would be needed if Petersburg did not come into the four dam pool.
Okay. I get the gist then. Thank you.
With that, Madam Chairman, what I'd like to do is turn this over to Push, and he can go through it program by program, and if you have any questions, please jump in.
Let me reiterate here just a second. Basically, Legislative Finance has found that sufficient payback is being generated in the loan portfolio so that they don't need additional money, but none of these are revolving, are they?
Some of them are revolving.
Which ones are revolving? How did they get that way?
Fisheries product, revolving loan guarantees.
Madam Chair, they are all revolving loan funds.
They all are?
Yes, ma'am. The ones that we've identified out here.
Okay.
Before you start then on fishery products, I have one quick question.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Is this the fishery products loan fund? Is this the program that we set up a few years ago to assist within the last 4 years? 3 years ago when there was a surplus of fish, we had the botulin problem, and we had very high interest rates. Is this the loan that we helped Petersburg Fishery, now called Icicle, and had the funding set up so that they could borrow from this fund for operating use? Is that the loan program? Very few used it. We put 40 million in there. And
right.
That's the one.
That is the one that was set up for the botulism scare.
I figured it must be because of the size of it, but I wasn't sure.
Senator Lyson.
Madam Chair, I thought that particular botulism program came out of the rainy day account as a guarantee, not as a revolving loan fund. Are we talking about another program?
No, it's the same program. It is a revolving loan guarantee program, not a revolving loan. It is a guarantee program, you're correct. The money was, there was $40 million appropriated from the general fund, and there was an additional $100 million
okay.
appropriated from the rainy day fund.
Okay.
That $100 million lapsed back.
This might be a matter of your school.
Okay.
Thank you.
Madam Chairman, and that's laid out on the table, too, which is the last page. Shows the activity there, how it had been appropriated, $40 million. $100 million out of rainy day, $100 million back into rainy day. And you'll notice there that the peak activity of the loan program was during the first 3 years, 80, 81, and 82, and then that's where it fell off, practically nothing.
Our interest rates were too high after that.
They're high compared to now.
Senator Fisher?
Thank you. Could you explain what we wrote off at 1.5 in a circumstance of the writing off the loan?
Madam Chair, I don't know the specifics of writing that off. It's just loans that are not repaid, and the department didn't expect to get those back. I suspect the department would be in a better position to give you the specifics of which loans were written off.
Could you ask the question again, Senator Fisher? I didn't hear you.
But there's a $1.5 million write-off of bad loans.
Oh.
And I'd like to know the circumstances and which loans were written off.
Okay.
We'll follow up on that in writing.
Any more questions before I begin? Senator
Lewis. Well, I'd like to clarify one thing. As I recall, this revolving loan fund was not a subsidy in any way.
No, Senator.
So the interest rate doesn't make that much difference because you weren't subsidizing when you started the program, you weren't subsidizing now. They're tied to, as I understand, the Federal Reserve.
It is tied to the average.
So were the loans, looking at this, where there was, someone mentioned, the reduction in activities was not because they didn't get money cheaper anywhere else. As I would just assume it's because the banks were willing to loan the money. They weren't at that particular time because of these problems, but now they're getting back into the good graces, I would say, of the banks.
Madam Chairman, that's correct. That point about that particular point did not apply to each individual loan program. That was just in looking at them in total.
So okay. I know nothing
being,
about all these loan programs.
The point
so
being,
you all are all ahead of me.
The point being that particular program was not a subsidy of any kind.
Chairperson.
Yes, sir.
That isn't quite true. It wasn't a subsidy by virtue. It might have been market rate, but the facts were that some of the processors had such limited ability to find capital. It was the only place it could get capital. So it was a hazardous risk for the state to make. And to that extent, see, the banks no longer wanted those loans, period. Elmer was stretched out there, and Elmer wanted to dump his, too, but we stuck him with them. So they couldn't get money any other place. And
Madam
it's a good
Chair,
thing we did it.
I've always considered a subsidy a state picking up part of the tab. In this particular case, it didn't.
Yeah, I suppose. But we did make it available and wasn't available any other place.
It's not a subsidy.
Okay, what I want you to do, is Senator Fisher.
Alaska Resource Corporation, that's not part of this at all.
Madam Chair, no, Senator, it has been set up by statute to, as the assets of the corporation are liquidated, they go directly into the general fund. So there is no potential for overcapitalization.
Madam Chairman, following up on that, Bush, isn't it true that, of course, it's set up in statute that as the assets are liquidated, they'll automatically go into the general fund, and the projected flow is about $14 million during the next 5 years?
Madam Chair, they have assets of $14 million that are invested in various corporations, and over the next 5 years, as they liquidate those assets, the money will be deposited.
Okay, begin at the beginning and assume I know nothing.
Why don't you start here and just describe each program.
Dangerous.
Hmm?
What was dangerous or something?
As Mike noted, we looked at the cash balances at 131 at the end of January and compared those to what was the projected need over the remainder of fiscal year 85 and fiscal year 86 for those loans. We sat down with the department and they had revised some of the estimates of both the expected demand and the loan repayments. And based on the cash flow analysis, these are the excess funds in each of these loan programs. If you like, I can go through each.
Every one of them, each one.
The mining revolving loan fund.
First of all, I want you to define the revolving loan fund for us, the mining revolving loan fund. Tell us what it is.
The Mining Revolving Loan Fund started in fiscal year 81. It is set up to underwrite advanced mineral exploration, development, and mining in the state. Mining out here is defined as the extraction of ore.
What's the rate on that loan fund? What's the interest rate?
The interest rate cannot exceed 10% per year.
So it has a ceiling of 10% on it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, continue.
There's a ceiling of $5 million on each individual loan that can be made from this revolving loan fund. And there's a maturity of up to 15 years on each loan.
Okay. So you're saying that at the end of 131.85, there was $29 million in the loan fund. In the mining loan.
That's correct.
Right? Yes. Estimated at the end of 6/30 it will be $26 million.
That's correct.
You feel that there's going to be a $9.6 million demand for this loan fund in 1986. You've got receipts of $2.7 million. Estimated cash on June 30th, 86 is $19 million. So you see an estimated cash surplus of $19 million in that loan fund, and Ledge Finance is recommending how much that we take out of there?
$19 million.
Oh, you're saying the $19 million. Okay. Questions from the committee. Go ahead, push.
I might note that these numbers have been developed by the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, and we are essentially using their estimates of demand and loan repayments for each of these loan funds.
Any questions for the department? Senator Olasen.
Madam Chair, you mentioned, is that a 10% figure you're talking about? Was that interest rate? Or
ceiling
what?
Of 10%.
10%.
Yes, sir.
The ceiling at 10% interest.
Yes, sir.
Senator Fisher.
With the 10% ceiling, which determines the rate?
I think the department should do
that. Madam Chair, Senator, I'm Maggie Hanley from the Department of Commerce. The rate is set at 10% for regulation within the statute.
Also, then there's no ceiling in the sense that it may be under that. It's 10%.
No, loans are made at 10%.
Most of them at 10%?
All of them.
Any further questions about this loan fund? How many applications do you have for this loan fund now, Maggie?
Let's see, we have, just check here. It looks like we have two commitments that have not been funded yet, and we're expecting probably another. Another four by the end of June 30.
And the two commitments that are not funded yet, how much are they for?
I don't have that figure, I can get it for you.
Okay. Senator Lyson and
Senator Kula. Just for curiosity, are they for majority loans for gold mining, or are they some coal mine loans or those types? What type? Can you tell us what that one might be?
To my knowledge, they're generally gold mining.
Gold mines, all right.
Senator Petula?
Last year we had sort of an innovative program, good or bad, yet to be seen, for providing for a sedimentation system or some method of innovative removing the sediments from the water mining. Are any of these programs used in, or borrowed for that purpose, or can they be borrowed for that purpose? In other words, for building ponds and for building screening.
I think we have the wrong person on the hot seat.
Mark behind you, who is close to...
It's a different program.
Betty says that's not true. Yeah, I knew it's a different program, but I was just wondering if they would use this money to do that.
Madam Chair...
And it's hard equipment loans.
Are you speaking of the DEC grants for...
No, I'm speaking of this loan program to see if the miners borrowed any money from this program to help straighten out the mess that they sometimes find themselves in.
I can find out for you.
Or if it's just hard capital, hard equipment loans, so on, you know, to cats, so on, for just mining purposes.
I'd be glad to find out. I know some of the loans that we have on the books are for operations, and others are for capital.
Well, you can use it for capital operations both.
Yes.
I don't need any more, thanks.
You're welcome. Senator Halford.
You said you got two loans that aren't funded yet. You expect four more, and that's going to use how much money?
Well, the two loans that aren't funded yet, I don't have the figures on that. We were anticipating a demand through the end of FY85 for about $3,200,000.
Probably
in four loans?
Probably NIAC.
Half a million-dollar loans.
We were estimating that the Division of Investments and the Commissioner's Office went over the demand, and they estimated that the loans could average $800,000 apiece. The loan demand size has varied over the years that the program's been in existence.
What's the maximum of single loan?
We have one on the books for over $3 million. It's about $3.3 million.
At what percentage rate?
10%.
It says maximum of 10, but they are at 10.
Mm-hmm. That includes a deferment of interest, or deferment of capital repayment for the first year on placer mining loans, and I believe up to 5 years on hard rock mining loans. So there is an additional subsidy in addition to the
That's interest. Never picked up. The interest doesn't even start to accrue?
No, the interest accrues, but the capital is not, does not begin to be repaid until the end of the first season for placer mining loans and the end of the fifth season for hard rock mining loans.
It sounds like if we're just deferring interest and not forgiving it, then we do get 10% effective net
right.
interest rate
That's
over
right.
the term of the loan.
That's right.
I'm
sorry?
What's Ada getting now on interest rates? Mm-hmm. It's not that much difference.
Senator Fisher?
Yeah, I guess, what kind of security are you getting for hard rock mining to back up the loan?
The collateral that we have on all of the loans varies from UCC agreements on capital equipment to deeds of trust on physical property and real property that can be recorded. In some of the cases of the mining loans, the actual claim is part of the security for what that's worth.
How about, I thought I just heard you say that the in the hard rock, the fifth year they get before they start paying back, right?
Start paying the principal.
Okay,
back.
And if you collateralize it with equipment, I have no idea in the industry how what the replacement value of equipment is, but by the time they start paying it back, you probably have lost all the value of, so then the security then might not be all that good.
The mining loan situation is a concern to the department. The collateral is remote. It's very hard to move. In most places, you can't get in and get it unless the ground is frozen, and at which time the weather is too inclement to get it. So our secured position on the mining loans is very tentative.
Okay. Madam Chair, how long has the program been in existence?
The FY81 push.
Right, that was the first year.
Okay, so then actually there hasn't been any payback at all by the hard rock industry because of the 5 years.
That's right.
For the hard rock miners, yes. The placers are paying back.
What's the default rate on this loan program right now?
About 50%.
How much?
50.
50% default rate.
Delinquency rate, excuse me, Madam Chair. The default rate is 15%, and it should be, by the end of the year, up to 28% as a result of demands that are now running that we expect to turn over to the AG's office.
So 15 to 28% default rate, 50% delinquency. And how do you define delinquency?
Any payment that's over 30 days past due is delinquent.
Gosh, I'm going to have to take back all I said about the farmers. Senator Petula, then Eliza, sorry.
Do you attribute those delinquencies to the value of gold? Is that directly to that? Is that the main problem?
That's about a third of the problem. The other third is, one third is generally the inability to extract the ore based on the samples that the miners got. The ore just didn't turn out to have the quality that they thought it would. And another third is generally what appears to be poor business practices.
Is what?
Poor business practices.
Does that include environmental problems?
Yes, it could.
Senator Petula?
Do we look for participation by the private sector when we make these loans, see how much the private sector is putting in, especially banks? Do we just make the loan? I realize this is a first mortgage or chattel loan, not the secondary market. But do we look at all to see who else is invested from the private sector, commercial loan unit of the private sector, what banks have put in money, et cetera? How do we screen these?
I don't know the answer to the question, Senator. It's something that I'd be glad to find out for you, or we should get the...
Have we audited this, Mike? Do you know? Program.
I don't know. I'll check with Jerry Wilkerson and see if it has been.
You have.
Part of the audit that's being discussed right now.
When do we get the results back?
Go ahead.
That is a very good way for the state to keep on top of its loan programs, is to one, either provide secondary money or to insist on some type of participation by the commercial sector for a small amount. And they go in there and screen pretty hard because they don't even want to lose their small amount. Now, if it's an experimental development program and to be a gift for development, in some cases, perhaps coal and so on, there is some reason for doing so. We ought to look at that. But as a straight loan program, it's going to be in trouble from now on.
Maggie, how many times, based on demand that you've had since 1981, you are reserving $9.6 million for the 86 demand? How many times over the yearly demand is that? What's your fudge factor, is what I'm trying to ask you.
That would fund the demand in FY82. It would be about three times the demand in FY83 and FY84.
Okay, that's what I wanted the committee to know. They are keeping in reserves three times the previous demand. So it's not like we're stripping them totally. We're giving them a fudge factor of 300%.
Why do we do that?
Well, the committee needs to make that decision. I mean, I think some of us are looking at this $19 million and feeling guilty about the potential take of the $19 million, and I just wanted the committee to know that they are saving 300% of their previous demand. So if the committee chooses to take more than $19 million, that's a possibility.
Well,
Senator Halpert.
I guess we'll have to get the audit information, but we're looking at a very small number of loans at $800,000 a year, or an $800,000 average, and that kind of payback rate, I think we should look at the whole portfolio and just see what's happening there. That's, you know, the same kind of problems we've been having in sometimes loaning more than they can possibly pay and then
that's
wondering
right.
why they can't make the payments.
That's right. We're killing them with kindness is what we're doing. Senator Petula?
Commodities. We base a loan sometimes on the value of wheat or whatever in farming. Now, how do you base a loan on the commodity gold? Do you base it on historic $35 an ounce or historic average over 10 years or the high of 800 or the low of presently of 280 and 90? I'm curious, what is that? What is the rule of thumb you use there to make a loan when a portfolio is presented to you and says we have X ounces of gold at so much value to offset the costs of development that they're borrowing for?
Madam Chair, I'm the director of the Division of Accounting and Collections. I'm not on the lending end, and I think I either need to call someone in from the lending end so that they can appropriately answer the questions that you're asking, or
okay, I just
find
guess assume the commerce of everything. Thank you. I'm not trying to embarrass you.
They're hoarding the gold out there, because I've had several letters from miners that have said, I don't want to have to pay back my loan until gold hits $400 an ounce. So I think they're hoping that gold's going to go back up, when in fact it's below 290 today. So they have, they have to pay or default, I would imagine. I mean, they want us to change the loan portfolio to say that they don't have to pay back their loan unless gold is $400 an ounce. Senator Eliason?
Madam Chair, are they required by law to keep an accounting of how much gold they have in their coffee cans or whatever?
You can't make a gold miner do that. You want to get shot?
You'll leave on the barrel.
I can think of a worse scenario than that. I can see them going on for 5 years and not producing, selling 1 ounce of gold, and at the end of 5 years, say, forget it, I can't find any gold. You can take your collateral, and I'll go to Mexico and forget about it.
Right. There hasn't been a gold auction in the Fur Rondi in Anchorage for the last 2 years because the miners don't like the price of gold.
Well, the fishermen don't like the price of fish, but they have to sell it.
And the timbermen don't like the price of timber, and it isn't selling. But the gold miners are hoarding. Usually they've always been able to do that, except they didn't have a loan from the state. Now they have a loan from the state, and they're in a bind. Is that it, Albert?
Yeah, another. I guess you probably don't know this one either. But the question is, I think Jelmer asked, what participation we get from the private lending institution. The question that goes right along with that is, to what level of equity contribution do we match with loans? In other words, do we loan 90% of the total investment in a package that's a family deal, and they put everybody on the payroll, and we carry the loan? Or do we loan 70%, or just exactly how much is real out-of-pocket cash that somebody else, be it a bank or be it their own investment, stands in front of the state to lose in the natural economic assessment of what the probability of paying this thing back is?
I think the statutory limit is 75%. Loan-to-value ratio. I don't know if that's 25% hard cash out of somebody else's pocket or not.
And I, Senator Curtula, then Senator Fisher.
The problem we're going to have here is some people, and mining is one of those situations, I suspect many other commodities, maybe one that I'm most interested in too, but it gets to be a very emotional thing, which we need to do is to look at it, and then plug loopholes, but provide opportunity for the legitimate ones, and not destroy a program, because if you get somebody like, for instance, the person who was raiding the dairy institution a while back, the Anchorage News and other newspapers had him as the big hero, but in fact, he was picking up a couple million, if he could have, quickly, and not doing what he should have done with it, wouldn't have done what he should have done with it, because he was headed off at the pass to some extent. Well, this is the same situation. We provide for the good miners, and apparently they've been getting small amounts over an extended period of time, and maybe they're holding back because they want the commodity price to go up. But we're gonna open it up to some guy for $4 or $5 million at a crack. All he has to do is pocket 20% and be gone and ruin it for the rest of them. We want to watch out that the emotionalism doesn't overcome us, that we're hurting mining, because that isn't my intention. No, it's not anybody else at this table. But it's probably a place to take a good look. And maybe rewrite the law a little bit.
Senator Fisher?
I guess it's a comment, I hope I'm right, at the end of the mining season, you would find, I would think, the delinquency numbers are going down, because it is a seasonal operation. So during the year, just like tourism, during the year, they may not be able to hack it, but toward the end, you would find the number decreasing, because now they've had a chance to mine.
Madam Chair, until the payments are due, that's true. The delinquency rate goes down, and then as soon as the payments become due on December 1st, which is the date most of them are due, it tends to escalate from that point.
Okay, any more questions on mining? Now, you need to know also that Jerry Wilkerson is the one who first, Senator Sackett, Representative Adams, and myself all asked Jerry Wilkerson to look at places that were overcapitalized at the beginning of the session when we started our money search. So the initial figures came from Wilkerson and Budget and Audit Shop, and then Mike and the department have been refining them ever since. So the Budget and Audit staff are in the loop on this study. Next one, small business.
Before Push gets into this, I'd just like to make a couple general comments about these next two, small business and tourism revolving loans. They are not included in the bottom line total of $36.5 million, and the reason why they aren't is that they've already been taken care of. In other words, at the end of each fiscal year, the money is automatically transferred to the general fund. These two particular programs were actually previously moved over to ADA, and these were just the balances remaining over here. There's no new loans going out. They're just simply repayments of old loans.
Okay, go ahead. Any questions on the small business or the tourism loans then? Hearing none, I guess we can skip down to veterans.
Madam Chair, this is another inactive loan program. The department has loans on its books that are being repaid. Unlike the small business and the tourism revolving loan fund, the repayments are retained by the revolving loan fund, and it is expected that about $8.8 million will be available for reappropriation. That is the cash surplus that this loan fund has.
So what you're saying is that this is no, this program has been transferred to HFC, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and that's the Veterans Home Loan Program.
Right.
Okay, how did this money get in Commerce? Where did this money come from? Why didn't it go to AHFC? And why is this now considered surplus?
Well, this loan program could make loans for a variety of purposes. It could make loans for personal loans to veterans and for business loans. The housing loans were transferred, but the personal loans and the business loans were not. Again, the department would be better informed about the historical development of this program.
The answer to where this came from, it came from World War II, right at the end of the war, and a screening initiated a 1% sales tax statewide, territorial-wide, to build a fund for loans for veterans, for both for veterans business and veterans housing. And that's what initiated this veterans loan program, a special set aside that we seeded with several million dollars. I think it was to build the $3 million. And when it built the $3 million, then the law sunsetted. It could have been more, but my memory is $3 million. We paid 1% sales tax for it in 1946, late 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, whatever it took. And that was to revolve. It's one of the loan programs that goes back pre-statehood. And I would be very careful about this program. It may have some constitutional implication, may have some legal implications. It certainly came from the taxpayer of this state to, it was just our thanks to the people that fought in World War II. And say, here's a little chance to get going in Alaska.
Do you all have a history of this?
Madam Chair, we don't have a history of this. That way back. It's a program that doesn't currently make any loans. It services loans that are already on the books.
Okay, we need to see the statutory authority for this loan program and just check out all the T's and I's to make sure that if we take this money, we aren't
all
stepping
legal
on
implications.
Absolutely. Senator Halpert, then Senator Lyson.
Well, it looks like this balance has been sitting there a long time. The cash on hand, and I mean, any year, or looks like this year we're only getting 500 in, but it seems like we're just recollecting money to get this $9,800 or $9.8 million balance. It would seem that we should either do something with it. If the program is dead, then there isn't a reason to keep it there.
Maggie, can you tell us something from the Commerce end of it?
Yes, Madam Chairman. There still is statutory authority on the books to make personal loans and either fourplexes or small business loans. And at the time the loans were transferred to AHFC to capitalize one of their bond issues, I believe, several years ago, they needed a certain dollar amount in terms of loans. They could not or did not want to take any of the personal loans that were not collateralized, and they also did not want to take any of the veterans' small business loans as part of their collateral. At the time the AHSC took over the lending to the veterans for homes, the department decided that there was not enough cash in the loan program to just open it wide open for whatever loans we still had the authority on the books to make, because they felt that the demand would be so great that the money would be gone in 3 months and we'd end up with many frustrated veterans trying to get loans who could not get them because of lack of funding. So the money has just sat there, as you say, and we have collected an additional $500,000.
How long has it sat there?
This money has been repaid ever since the program began. So some of the dollars have been in there for years, 20 years or more.
Senator Eliason?
Well, this has come under discussion a number of times over the years, and Senator Couture is right that there's certain portion of these monies are we've got to be very careful with, because we don't know what the legal ramifications might be, because it was a sales tax and it was, I don't know if it was on referendum or if it was just the legislature put it in, but in either case, it's a dedicated fund. So that's why I suspect that people have been very cautious when they address that particular balance. They don't know exactly what you can do with it.
Okay, let's find out exactly what we can do with it. Okay, any other questions from the committee?
Loan out to World War II veterans.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, that's what it's meant for, is World War II veterans, and I'd say maybe we ought to reinstate some program, not put us in the banking business, but make it a secondary mortgage market for
World War II veterans. Have a lot of other things, though. I don't think they need the money.
It's possible.
I mean, they have small business loans. They have their housing loan fund. So I think what's happened is they've overlapped in so many other loan programs that this one's not needed.
I just think they haven't tapped this for any loans because the department wiped out its ability to make loans, to age them, to do it. They just turned it all over to ADA.
No, because they do mining loans and they do fishing loans and they do everything else. You know.
They could do it, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it was probably the first loan program.
It is.
First.
Yeah. Senator Halpert.
Well, it seems that the piece that's missing is personal loans. And that's something that was available through this thing and hasn't been available through anything else since then. But apparently what you're saying is that if they opened it up to personal loans to veterans, there wouldn't be enough there. And maybe we ought to look at it to say that we do open it up to personal loans to veterans, but cut the limits back on individual loans so that someone who is in a legitimate, a veteran, can borrow $5,000 in personal loan.
Senator Halpert, in times of depleting revenues, I don't want to start a new loan program and encourage people to borrow money from the state we're not going to be able to treat everybody equally. Just to start this whole process over again. We've killed enough people with kindness. You want to wipe out everybody?
But if it's a dedicated fund, then that's what it's for. And what do you do with it? Just say, okay, we can't give it to everybody because the limits are $100,000, so we're just going to let it sit in the books.
Oh, we look at the legislation and maybe change the legislation. I'm not for letting it sit there anymore. Senator Fisher?
But if we do talk dedicated fund, we're still going to be getting interest in it. We're still getting interest in it.
Yeah,
so you're always going to have money coming in, so you're going to have to, within our response, dedicate the money coming in to either the general fund or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Senator Curtula?
Maybe we could make a Veterans Memorial on the Yankee Community College. They need about $15 million for a building there, Veterans Memorial Building. ACC, special room.
Residential energy.
Madam Chair, this was a program that started in fiscal year 81. The purpose of the program is to purchase, construct, and install an energy conservation improvement in residential buildings. It's for structural insulation, thermal doors, and the like. There appears to be about $7 million in excess funds. There isn't that much of an emphasis on conservation anymore, and that would probably be the main reason why there's excess funds.
Mike?
Madam Chair, another reason is going over this with Bush. The program was much more attractive in the early years. In other words, the interest rate was fixed at 5% until January 1 of 1984. After that time, it jumped to the average weekly municipal bond rate, which is about 10 to 11%. So in that context, they are not as attractive today as they were prior to January 1, 1984.
Questions? Senator Fisher.
Just one. What type of collateral would it use for residential energy loans? Would it use second, third mortgages?
Madam Chair, generally they're second, third deeds of trust.
Senator Fertula.
CNRA has a continuous rural residential program that provides for insulation and so on in rural housing. I guess maybe already stated. This is separate from that, I take it. But I think that's available to everybody in the state. So this might be redundancy incarnate.
For the record, everyone's shaking their head. Yes, it is available, I believe, to everybody.
This program is. I don't know the details of CNRA.
How much can I borrow from? Maybe I should trot down there and get
it. $5,000.
Senator Eliza.
Madam Chair, is this
strike the record?
Is this loan available to those people who are building new homes or just for remodeling older homes?
Austin's heading for the door. He's going to go get one.
Senator Eliza, ask your question again. Is this for new homes or is this for remodels?
Madam Chair, I don't know the answer. I believe it's for both, but I'll find out.
It's for both.
For both?
For both. So they can put solar energy in or wind generation or something like that in?
Wood stoves?
No. Converting heaters?
This is residential energy conservation, not alternative energy. So it's just for conservation purposes rather than alternative energy purposes.
Okay.
Insulation, i.e.?
Yes.
Thermal panes?
That's an important bit of that.
Any questions on residential energy?
8%?
It's tied to the weekly
municipal bond rate, 10 to 11%.
Thank you.
That's when the demand dropped off, is when the interest rate went up. Child care facilities, I know there's no money there, but what is that?
Well, PUSH is looking up that information to address the question of the status of the program. This little program appears to be that the funds and the available funds and the demand are pretty much in balance. Can you find your information?
Yes, loans are available from this revolving loan fund for the construction, renovation, and equipping of child care facilities. There can be one loan to each facility. The maximum amount, I believe, is $30,000. And the maximum term of the loan is 10 years.
Interest rate?
I don't have the interest rate. Perhaps ma'am.
And the demand, the maximum is $30,000?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Question, Senator Fisher?
If the maximum is $30,000, so if somebody wants to privately, now this is a state child care facility, but there's no way you can build one for that, so would this be a secondary type financing where the first mortgage they may be able to do somewhere else, and this $30,000 would be available for secondary? Or how would
That's correct, or it could be for equipping, buying equipment for the facility, renovating.
Madam Chair, I believe the loan amount is $50,000.
District.
Hysterical?
This is where the Wickersham House can get their new wiring. But tell me about this loan program.
This is a loan program set up to preserve structures of historical importance. Not too many loans are made each year. one or two loans are made each year out of this revolving loan fund. There's a limit, I believe, of $150,000 per loan, and the department expects to make two loans during fiscal year 86, totaling $300,000. And based on their current cash at hand, there appears to be $500,000 excess in that loan.
What's the rate?
You remember? I believe it's 7.5%, but I'll check on that. And
for how long? The term?
30 years maximum.
Questions? Senator Fisher.
Two questions. One is how you determine historical districts and who does, and then the other question is it always an unprofit corporation or an unprofit
farm? To respond, Madam Chairman, one part of it, if the loan program is limited to municipalities and or nonprofits.
And
Tony gets
the determination of the district is done by some committee?
There's a regional committee that approves that endorses that.
I have a question. The terms, is it preservation? Is that what it is? A municipality decides to preserve a particular thing, wishes to buy it to preserve it and put it in shape, or what is it? I didn't listen to the testimony on that part.
The municipality or the regional society, historical society, approves, endorses that loan. It's to preserve structures of historical importance. I'm not sure I got your question.
Okay, that's essential.
It could also be artifacts, not just necessarily structures. It can also be used to preserve, restore artifacts.
Can the unorganized borough participate in this?
I'm not sure. It's any non-profit organization.
Okay, any non-profit. Doesn't have to be an organized borough.
That's correct.
Okay, any questions on this one? Okay, moving right along here.
$91 million, you're doing great this morning.
If you want to go next, to power development.
Next, power development, $12 million. Where's the breakdown of that?
That has to do with the $212 million that was appropriated last year.
Would you go through the history that we appropriated $212 million, but they don't need that $12 million if Petersburg joins or Petersburg doesn't join? I didn't quite get that.
Okay,
I haven't got that page. You got a page on that?
No, I don't have a page on that, but we talked about it before you got here, and the whole thing went over my head, so I wanted to start again.
There's 198 gone out of 210, right?
198
million, Madam Chair, has been loaned out by the Department of Commerce to the Alaska Power Authority. The 12 million represents a reserve which will or will not be needed depending on whether Petersburg participates in the four dam pool power agreements. It is something that hasn't been resolved, and unless the agreements are changed from to include the $12 million is available right now, but the final outcome will depend on how exactly the power sales agreements are structured.
Okay, if Petersburg joins, will the $12 million be used?
No, it will not.
If Petersburg doesn't join, why do they get the $12 million?
That represents what the Alaska Power Authority will be taking on as costs that otherwise Petersburg would have paid.
For O&M, for the dam?
Yes.
Senator Halford.
If this was a loan, now we've issued the loan, what's the interest rate? Usually when we negotiate a loan, we decide what the rate of return is going to be and the payback.
It's an 8% 30-year loan, 35-year loan.
Okay, so as far as Commerce is concerned, it's 8%, 35 years on everything they put out. And how can they statutorily take out of this account to add $12 million in subsidy because Petersburg hasn't joined?
Well, they have not made the loan for 210. They've made a loan only for 198 million. So the 12 million is the balance.
But statutorily, what can they do with that 12 million? Maybe that's my.
Maggie?
Yes, the department has made a loan for 191 million, and the Alaska Power Authority is expected to request the balance up to 198 million within the next few months. The 12 million was set aside initially to, in case all of the other communities signed the power sales agreement except for Petersburg, in which case another loan would be made to fund the debt service so that the other communities wouldn't have to pay Petersburg's share. So either Petersburg will sign or nobody will sign, or the power sales agreements would need to be renegotiated. And under those three scenarios, the $12 million wouldn't be needed.
Not needed under any scenario, then, as a loan.
Well, the only scenario that it would be needed under would be if all the communities except for Petersburg signed the agreement, but the debt service that they agreed to did not include taking on Petersburg's share themselves.
But how can we make a loan that requires an interest rate and a rate of return to pay off a loan that is also not capable of paying its interest rate?
Well, I know what. Then the domain will supplement the other communities even more than are already being supplemented. They'll have to pick up Petersburg's share, and that $12 million will be used to do that.
But there's got to be
Petersburg's out on the cold.
But there's got to be debt service on $12 million, too.
Yes, that's true. And part of the loan, the loan agreement and the statute on the power development revolving loan fund is not a normal loan agreement nor program by any stretch of the imagination.
Senator Eliason.
Is that the $12 million, is that a 1 year, or is that how does it fit into the program down the road? Is there going to be another $12 million required next year and the following year, or what?
Senator Eliason, I'm not sure exactly how they chose the $12 million. I haven't looked that deeply into the debt service. It's not just 1 year's requirement. And it may be that they were going to use that money and invest it.
To cover the 30-year period.
Mm-hmm.
Any more questions on the $12 million?
Do you think it's available or not available?
I think it's available for a school in South Anchorage. We might be able to share the school.
It's another flag.
Any more questions on that one? I think that's a real live one right there. Okay, power projects.
Madam Chair, $4 million represents the appropriation that was made in 1981 for a district heating project for the city of Fairbanks. The municipality, the utility is not authorized to incur any debt, so no loan application has been made for that particular program. The $4 million is sitting with the Alaska Power Authority, and it could be reappropriated or made into a grant to that utility.
Senator Fertula.
Was this power project, you know, related to the waste heat production of the coal-fired generation plant there? Was that what they were going to use it for? Fairbanks has had a history of doing that from time to time.
Senator, I don't know.
The only reason I mention it is that reading the press, it stated that the cost of rehabilitation of the old FE plant was such that it looked like it might be closed down. In which case, then you wouldn't have waste heat if I've got the two put together until such a time as a new plant is constructed. If, in fact, they construct the plant there rather than at the mine and transport the power with these new heavy interties, I wouldn't be surprised if they would discontinue it.
Okay, but this money has been sitting there since 1980.
Yeah, so you could probably just lapse it.
I know. Senator Eliason?
Seems to me that the money is sitting there because they didn't have the authority to use it.
Yeah,
that's correct. No,
wasn't there something said just recently that they're going to go to a referendum to find out whether they would or not? I thought that's what the power authority told us. Or is that a different program?
That's correct.
No,
that's
the
correct.
People are so voting in a month.
So we don't know if this money is available now until after that election.
So I have a question that he might have. Was this the waste heat?
I don't know if it was waste heat. I do know that the $4 million is on the ballot in the municipal election on whether it's going to be
available. Yeah. It might be worth our while at this moment, though, to look at the fact that the source is shut down, and I could be dead wrong, but my memory
tinkles back there. If the source is shut down, there isn't going to be any waste heat to provide. So then it's redundant. Now, if it isn't going to be shut down, then something else.
Senator Hafford?
Well, if the original appropriation is for a loan, then the loan would be paid back to the state. So it wouldn't appear to be to our benefit in terms of long-range revenue to change the loan to a grant. If the city of Fairbanks takes it as a loan, then, you know, it's theirs to take, and we ought to give them the opportunity to do that. But I don't know about making a grant.
Well, it's on the ballot to see if they want it. Senator Katula.
I'm probably off 100 degrees, Rick, but if it's to use the waste heat, now the technical, I suppose the new technology is direct result. It's not new to the world, but the technology now has changed with those heavy lines coming through to the intertie. You probably build the power plant back at Healy again. Since there's a redundancy right now or in a real availability of power, you probably transfer the power on those lines that are underused and forget building it next to even a new one if they have to replace the old one. And then this whole heat thing is gone. There's no power plant to replace the one that exists. I'm just thinking on it.
But there must be something if they're going to have it in the ballot in a month. And it is on the ballot in April.
Well, the news minor statement may, too, be just a, you know, just a news article. What if?
I would like to ask one more question on this $7 million. Maggie, you said that at back of the Power Development Fund that APA has loaned out $191 million of the 212. $7 million they were going to request in a couple of months. What's that for?
To my understanding, it's for a working capital fund that is within the loan agreement.
A working capital fund?
Mm-hmm.
What for?
Well, there is a possibility that it may be needed to prevent the loan from going into default. They may be requesting the money to pay debt service on loans that they've already received from the department.
I mean, if some of the communities don't pay their bills.
Yes.
Senator Hopper.
So now we got the 191, whatever it is, out there, and if they don't pay on that, we're going to make another loan. And in the meantime, we want the $12 million to make sure that we can pay some other payments that they may not pay. And where's the real loan amount?
Well, the money that has been loaned out is $191,165,000. That's gone.
I mean, we're shuffling agencies back and forth, and they all have to save each other. It seems like we've got a lot of things we're calling loans that look a lot like grants.
Madam Chairman, I would say that this is not intended to be a grant. The original loan agreement that was drawn up was for $198 million, and there were going to be a number of promissory notes drawn up under that one loan agreement for various specific projects, one of which was stated as a working capital fund. The loan agreement is very extensive, and the terms of its default or not going into default are extensive to the point that they include a possible bailout provision in case the communities don't start paying the Alaska Power Authority so that they can start remitting on their debt service to us.
Do you know what the communities have paid? Have they been billed?
They've been billed, and to my understanding, they haven't paid anything on the debt service, although the Alaska Power Authority told me Friday that they expect to start receiving some money very shortly from them.
How much in arrears are the communities on debt service?
I don't know how much they are in arrears on debt service. The loan is not delinquent until the June 30th deadline comes for the annual payment. The Alaska Power Authority has not remitted any of their monthly installments because they haven't received any money yet from the community. I think the total amount for this fiscal year is about $3 million.
Okay, Maggie, I'd like an accounting of that. When the first bill went out, how much in arrears they are, when the loan has to be paid back on June 30th. Basically, I want to know what the community, that I want you to put in writing that the communities haven't paid a dime.
I'd like a copy, too.
A copy for the whole committee.
All right.
Senator Fisher, then Senator Hopper.
Two questions, Madam Chair. One, the additional $7 million they're after, does that also have a 35-year payback, since it's to cover a shortfall?
The
amount of money we're loaning them, in the event they can't make payments, that we're going to keep long term.
It's included under the 35-year term at 8%.
Okay, then my second question would be, it looks like we're going to have a situation where each year they're going to need additional money to cover the previous year that they can't keep current. Where are they going to get the money if we take out the $12 million that's left? where they're going to get it fiscal 87, assuming that the historical record will be the same.
Well, it depends on what the reason is for non-payment. Is it the lack of a power sales agreement, which has been resolved, and the communities, my understanding is the communities have been banking the money they've collected from their consumers, and that the money is in the communities and can be paid as soon as the power sales agreements are signed. So it's a political matter rather than a financial one.
Cheryl, I'd like you to have Billy Barrier look up what the problems would be for deducting municipal revenue sharing and municipal assistance for those communities who are not paying the bill to the Power Authority. Senator Hopper?
Ma'am, not only for the Power Authority, if I may, but any other programs that you might be involved.
Any other delinquencies?
Okay, any other delinquencies. Sure, make it general. That's good. Senator Hopper?
When we've got one agency of the state loaning to another agency of the state, it seems impossible to ever deal with a default. I mean, what is common? Are we going to sue? Is the right hand going to sue the left hand for not paying?
That's what happened to the House and the Senate.
And the state pays for both cases.
Right.
As long as there's money, they'll get away with this. As soon as there's no money, then accountability steps in. No?
I think the Power Authority always has to come back to us to pay ourselves back.
That's why I'm going to suggest we take the $19 million, not just $12. That'll shore them up real quick.
Or the $200 million.
Well, the $191's gone. $191, $135 or something is gone. So what's available is $19 million. Now, Maggie tells us the loan agreements require that $7 million in there. And I'd like to see that in writing, that $7 million is required, or the Power Authority is just telling us that $7 million is required. I want to know what that $7 million is. Is it 1 month's payment? Is it 1 year's payment on the debt service? What exactly is their fudge factor there, Maggie? What is that $7 million? Yes, sir?
Well, the point is there are no loan agreements with anybody that pays the bill. There's only a loan agreement between our right hand and our left hand.
No, there's loan agreements. There are power sales agreements with the communities.
That goes
there
to the right
hand. There are. They're simply not paying their debt service.
That goes to the right hand, which would then in turn probably repay the left hand.
The communities are not paying their bill.
They're collecting on the basis of debt service at, what, 2.6 cents?
They're charging their consumers, but they're not giving it to the state. They're putting it in the bank while they're waiting for a political solution to their little problem here. Right? Is that correct?
Coming through with one.
Am I not saying that right?
Madam Chair, I thought that $200 million continuing appropriation took care of these little problems.
Well, that's just the southeastern 20-year entitlement to capital projects.
Now let's keep this on a professional, nonpartisan, non-regional basis. We're trying to get a handle on this money, and we're never going to do it if we start throwing rocks at each other. Because all he has to do is say something about the $147 million that's already spent on Fusitna, and we don't even have them. We haven't turned a spade of dirt. We've just collared a lot of animals.
I do know that some of these communities are still, or were, producing their own energy with diesel. So when they do that, they have to pay the costs. Now, I don't know how long they've been on the system, but if they're getting energy from these power sources, they should pay for it.
Why can't we turn off the
agreement or not, you know, at least until it's resolved. And I think they're probably willing to pay the same rate they've always paid.
Sure.
At least that would help.
If they're willing to pay for diesel, then why don't we mothball the dams until they get themselves together down there?
It's going to cost you more than $12 million to do that.
Does it really? Are they like ships? They cost as much not to run as they do to run?
I doubt that.
I learned all about the ferry system. You guys won't believe that. Okay, Curtillo, Senator Curtillo?
I don't have anything to add.
Then let's go to fish. Tell us about the fishing product revolving loan guarantee, so we could start harassing Senator Eliason.
Madam Chair, this is a
yes,
program that was set up in fiscal year 80, and during fiscal year 84 and 85, there have been no applications for loans from this program. There's $38.5 million sitting in the state treasury that appears that it won't be used in the near future.
How much money are you leaving in there for a fudge factor?
We are not leaving anything.
Senator Alaskan.
Why?
Because...
Do you know something we don't about the fishing industry?
No, we're just showing you how much money is in there. We're not recommending that you reappropriate that money. The reason 38.5 million is shown here is that there are no pending applications on regarding this revolving loan guarantee program.
This was a one-shot deal.
Why?
This portion, I think, was supposed to be a one-shot deal. This was the budget and everything else.
$100 million, ready to take out, was a one-year thing. That lapsed back in, but the prior appropriation is still in there.
Was this 40 separate from the 40 that we allocated?
Same one. This is only the guarantee thing. And it only worked when they had the market situation where they needed a guarantee to carry forward 1 year. It doesn't give them anything except a guarantee. It's not a loan program.
Senator Cotillo.
This was a question coming around the table that I don't think that could be answered. But it is possible there are half a dozen Alaskan-based canneries and processors, freezers canneries, and maybe more than that, 100% Alaskan-owned or U.S.-owned. Virtually every one of them has been in some problem due to the shortage of fish and the hard dollar and the market problems that they've had. Is that possible that this is the year we'll want to have these funds available for them to use for inventorying product? Now, they wouldn't amount to anything like $40 million, but they might amount to $6, $8 million, and I sure wouldn't want to wipe that out. If, in fact, the firms are legitimate, are getting fish, have a decent history, but this year might need them. Now, I can think of two or three in Senator Fisher's district. There's one down on the chain, and there's over in Bristol Bay, rather, and there's always one or two along the coast, Cordova, down, that fit that category, and probably they've got their operating money, probably it's cheaper, but again, let's not ruin them by having no last resort available if we wipe this out. All this is a one-year program paid for out of inventory. So I remember Elmer came in here and he'd inventoried, and a lot of them had been inventoried, but some banks in Seattle, like CFirst, were having great trouble due to energy. So they no longer inventory, and that's the reason for this. Well, if it's in place, this might be years, half a dozen Alaskan-based fisheries are going to need this.
Senator Halpern?
I think we need to ask some questions about how this thing really works. If, in fact, we've taken no money out of the account in the last 2 years, is it really accessible and does it really do any good to a processor to access it then? And there's got to be a reason that this money is sat there.
For two full years,
I can tell you the reason, I think. CFAP. CFAP was available. Now, with the Reagan administration tightening up, CFAP doesn't have a secondary mortgage market.
Senator Eliason.
Well, I think Senator Cotillo is right. Although it is, I'm sure it's overcapitalized because even in the peak years, we didn't get near the $338.5 million we're talking about.
Can we take $30 million? Leave 8.5? Would you guys be comfortable leaving 8.5?
Probably leave about 10, I'd say. It's just a good round figure.
We should leave some.
8.5?
10.
They're not using it. All right, I'll go
find
out all the money.
They're laying the bank rather than getting interest, you know. We're going to have to take it out and spend it somewhere. All right?
I'll remember that. You said that. That's a very good comment. I like that. I will remember that. Further comment. Okay, what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen down there, is to have a detailed sheet on statutes involving these loan programs, their rates, their terms, why at this point in time your analysis is they're not being used, what's preventing them from being used, and the history of these loan programs. We need a step-by-step history of where they came from.
Yeah, just with this one, as I remember, there's all kinds of conditions in there, and the bank participation and everything else. There's a lot of things that they probably just can't meet.
As I recall, it was an inventory guarantee. That's what we
right.
It was.
Right. And it was written real tightly. Mm-hmm. Because The money market had dried up for that particular time.
That brief period went to 17, 18, 20%, 23%.
But I don't think this...
In a Carter administration.
This really isn't a loan program.
That's true.
It's a guaranteed program.
Right. And there's a big difference there in terms of what's really available and what doesn't exist.
So you guys will settle for 28.5 to take... 28.5.
Well, you should find out on this one.
Oh, I will.
Any of the others.
We'll bring it back to you guys. Either that, I won't tell you. Senator Fisher?
Before you go that far, Madam Chairman, maybe what we ought to do, since this is a guarantee for inventory, you ought to earmark about $6.6 million for a bridge to get that inventory to market.
Okay. That sounds good.
Support bridge across the river.
You talking about the Eagle River Bridge?
Chair, we have noted...
Okay, guys. Michael.
We have noted your request to document more concisely what we've told you this morning, but just to follow up with one example, fishery loan guarantee program is quite specific in statute as far as the conditions for. I'm just going to read quickly. Department may guarantee a loan under this chapter if the term of loan does not exceed 1 year. So here we go, this 1 year. The loan is secured by inventory. The loan is originated in service with the Alaska Commercial Fishery and Agricultural Bank or by a state-owned institution. Majority interest in the fish processor is beneficially owned by the residents of the state. And just going on and on, this particular program has some quite specific conditions on its use.
Senator Cotullo.
That's exactly the situation I'm concerned about, exactly, because this may be the secondary market for CFAB when they can't go the commodity credit route this year.
Senator Eliason.
Madam Chair, obviously there are other loan programs. Are we going to address them later, or is this only a part of what we're talking
Senator
about?
Senator Eliason, the committee asked both Ledge Finance and Budget and Audit at the very beginning of the session to look over any place, specifically Jerry Wilkerson was asked. He does all the audits all the time. And in the course of his auditing for the last couple of years, has he come across some funds or overcapitalized somewhere for the potential lapse funds? And this is the list that he came up with, that they felt that with really very little problem or very little hassle, these were definitely overcapitalized, and the department agreed with it. So there was very little political problems with taking this money based on the history and all that kind of thing. And so this is the quick and dirty list, quite frankly.
What about all the other programs? Are we going to look at them?
The only one, a large sum of money that they have found is the money in Alaska Power Authority that they are holding, and it's like $25 or $30 million. Maybe it's not quite that much. They're holding in there for litigation, and I think we should take that. But that's a policy call. Questions for the group down there? Any other information you want to have on any of these loan programs before we can make a decision? Senator Elias?
This request will be just sort of a summary, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Senator Cotullo?
Would you check with CFAB and see if there is a need for this as a secondary mortgage market? It may not be one. I think that's a real quick way of finding out.
Under the constraints of the current statute.
Yes. Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, Madam Chair, maybe it would be wise to check with some of the people who were involved in that program a number of years ago. Maybe the lobbyists or the people who represent that industry, and see if there is any interest at all in this program. I know there was a lack of interest a year or two ago. Maybe that still prevails, and there's no need for CFAB, and we might have to, be available.
Elmer lobbied this one through personally.
Who are you talking about, Elmer?
Rasmussen.
Jesus, are we doing these things for rich bankers, or are we doing these for processors that need
money?
Well,
it's an interesting problem, and you exhibit it from time to time, where the very wealthy decide they have a social responsibility, and Elmer has decided that he had a social responsibility to see to it that the fishery survived, and that's...
And his bank didn't want to come out on top
with
it.
But he was getting stretched out.
But he also wanted to make sure his bank survived.
Yeah, right.
So we guarantee the money that he owned.
He didn't want to destroy the fishery, but he didn't want to pay more of his own end.
Oh,
he didn't want the political heat to call him alone.
What?
He didn't want the heat to call him alone.
That's what you got it.
Any further comments?
In all honesty on this subject, and I'll get off of it, but you're picking up information that you're going to be using over the next several years. The National Bank of Alaska had a lot of loans it was going to continue with. The problem was the Seattle-based banks were withdrawing from those loans that they had historically made for fish pack because of the high money. Elmer had kept his share of them. We were replacing the Seattle-based loans, and of course Elmer wouldn't have minded if we'd replaced his too. $40 million wouldn't have done it. It would have taken $100 million.
Any further comments?
He remembers it well.
I want to thank you all for doing this. Get that information back to us. We appreciate you coming to us with this information, and we'll see you when you get your report done.
Okay? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to remind everybody that the meeting tomorrow morning at 8:30 is on the operating budget of the Department of Education, and you were all late the last time Senator Sackett had this meeting, so let's all try to be on time tomorrow for Senator Sackett.
Don't want to be tardy for class.
Any other business to come before the Finance Committee?
We were about to adjourn.
Well, you know what I'm going to do when your bills come up? I think we'll be late that day. No. Any other business coming for the group?
Teacher, how do we raise a hand like
Senator
this?
Senator Eliason, you're embarrassing me. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.